sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
That is our host, Rolando, and I am co-host. I am named they from Texas originally, and I now live in Los Angeles for about 14 years, a little more, and my name is John.
I mean, to be fair, we're both co-hosts. I don't want to be the host and you're the co-host.
The weather is actually pretty nice today. It was very cold the past couple of days, but now it's nice. Tune in next week. We'll review Canada's only good export. I'm just kidding.
What's Gutenberg? Yeah, it's true. We're going to get tariffed for reviewing his movies. And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Parenting. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts. And then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to the TV corner. We're reviewing Yellow Jackets, Season 3, Episode 3, Them's the Breaks. And in an absolute...
And it feels like they pumped the brakes on excitement for just an episode. No, it was fine. There's plenty that went on.
I think, spoiler, I think after this episode, I think Mari's my favorite character ever. So,
Mari.
Yeah, she got held captive with Ben in the cave. And then this episode starts with the Right Said Fred song, I'm Too Sexy. And she changes the lyrics to it. She's like, I'm too sexy for this cave. Too sexy for this cave.
Who plays adult Mari?
We don't know yet. We have long suspected it's probably Hilary Swank. Thank God there's an adult version. I loved this first interaction between Mari and Ben to kind of kick off the episode. I thought this was excellent.
I just don't understand why she didn't say, like, Ben actually helped me out because I fucking fell.
I think because even though...
Sacrificed Ben to the forest,
even though they had a moment, Ben is still the enemy. I think she's kind of weighing it out. She doesn't know... I don't think Mari ever really, like, changed her opinion of him. Because she's like, lying about like, oh, I'm attracted to you. I've always been attracted to you. And she goes on to explain like, yeah, you called me a pervert or something like that. You know, like she kept finding ways to, Ben was not really like falling for anything Mari said. Cause Mari's stupid.
Yeah. Try to get him fired for like being a pervert to the girls, and he's like, well, no, because I'm gay, and even if I wasn't, what did he say? Which I thought was like foreshadowing or something, like hard foreshadowing, like I'd rather have something hard and pointy pressed into my eyeball until it reaches the back of my skull. I'm like,
yeah, I thought funniest shit has this episode was Mari for sure. I loved it. I love that they bear sprayed each other each. Yeah, because you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, because you brought up a good point, right? He's like, so what was the plan? What was the plan after? Yeah. Just like, I don't know. I was just kind of winging it. I'm like, yeah, dipshit.
And, you know, I love the details we get about Ben, you know, that he only was working there because he had to pay off student loans. That he, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we get a little bit more.
Because what happened? His career fell through, right? Oh, he was going to be a professional.
I don't remember the sport, but he hurt his knee or something, or career.
I'm going to say ACL because right. It's always that, right?
So, yeah.
Even in real life, it's always that.
Yeah, here, like, is, and so, like, so he was just working there just because, and then he got stuck on this, you know, plane ride that crashed, and he had an excessive amount of condoms. That he was, I don't know what kind of sex he was gonna have. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I remember, I think he admitted, he was like, it's because you're fucking, you guys are teenagers and it's a bunch of teenage girls and I don't need babies being my fault.
And like, yeah, yeah. And yeah, I think it makes sense as to why Ben would want to let go of Mari, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't benefit him at all. And it's also Ben's fault. He fucking got caught. He didn't have to save the girls. He could have just fucking went on his way.
True, yeah, absolutely. And when she goes, Mari again, MVP, she actually returns back to the group. Shauna starts questioning her, and then Mari says, he's like, where were you? He's like, I walked back to civilization to fuck your dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was fucking the best fucking line. Yeah, Mari was fucking hilarious. I love this whole beginning. I love this, everything that happened here. And, you know, when they eventually go back, well, I guess we could just stay on the flashback stuff until we could move over to the present day later. I don't think there was that much present day stuff, to be honest.
No, it's like Van's cancer is potentially in remission.
Right.
And it's being spun that, what, this is why we're watching the flashback stuff, because we're getting the beginnings of the forest is going to give them something as long as they sacrifice
right.
people.
Right, which has kind of been alluded to. But I thought the flashback stuff was really good, because it kind of, like, once they get into the cabin, I'm sorry, not the cabin, the cave, they start hallucinating. You know, the Akia, she starts yeah. hallucinating about animals and the, what is it? Was it alpaca?
Okay.
A llama?
Yeah, like llama, something like
that. I can't tell the difference. Like so, but yeah, she ends up talking to her, which is kind of like the weirdest one. And then, of course, Shauna kind of envisions herself almost like, what was the religious girl's name? Laura Lee, right? Laura Lee. Yeah, and she had that thing where they're swimming in the water and she's swimming, floating up in the water, and she's trying to reach like her baby and is not able to, obviously, because she's still in grief. And Van, who, this is the one I thought was really interesting, because Van returns back to the cabin and she sits down and she's staring at the fire, which I think is kind of like, to me, that's a hint that maybe she was responsible for the fire. I don't know. That's wild speculation.
Oh, like, yeah, okay. It's like she should have died, but enough people got sacrificed.
Right. Yeah, like maybe she should have died. Well, I feel like she started the fire. I think that's why I it's too neatly cleaned up that Ben did it. So I think like it's probably Van. It's going to be one of the girls. And to note,
cuz to be fair, it's like they're learning survival skills as they mm-hmm. go. Right. So for them, I mean, I hate for them to not understand how to maintain a fire within a cabin makes a lot of sense.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what happened in that finale as to what the why the fire happened. But I think there's a big question as to who did it. And it's they blame Ben, but I don't suspect he did.
No.
This to note, I did have to Reddit this. But so when she's sitting in the chair, in the plane chair again, and she's surrounded by flames or whatever, you see Shauna's hand. You see four hands, three hands, I think, four to three hands, right? You see Shauna's. You see, yeah. Was supposed to be Jackie's, right? And there's two other hands, which could be the man in the cabin, right? It could be that bag, going back to that theory. And there is another hand, right? Because I think we suspect that the person in the forest that Ben might be talking to or hallucinating with is different from the one that's in the cabin, the man in the cabin.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm not, because it also seems like they're all seeing a different mm-hmm. thing. I mean, not the hallucination. Sorry, like what's her name? The man without Taissa, the man without eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Who we find out is actually just an old memory she has of some weird.
Which commercial. That was so stupid, but it's just they're trying to shoehorn. I mean, I the way it was played out, like it's supposed to be like this old ice cream, local commercial ice cream place.
Yeah. They did like a retro commercial.
And it's literally a man's eyes with no eyes. And then like they bug out because he's tasting the ice cream or something is the commercial, the intent of the commercial.
Yes.
So it's a bit weird.
I'm inclined to believe that that's based off of a real commercial some one of the writers saw.
Possibly, yeah.
Because like that's just
yeah,
like,
it is very bizarre, like, yeah.
But it also like we're maybe the last generation that would remember the fucking weird ass Quiznos commercials mm-hmm. with the weird like the is it a potato or a rat that has like serial killer cutout magazine eyes and
yeah. mouth and, like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We just say Quiznos, nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about.
<It's there. laughs> yeah. I say Blimpies.
Yeah. So. Oh.
Or the Burger King moon guy.
Nobody remembers that. Yeah, nobody.
Yeah, Max Headroom is like barely there. And
I think the really cool thing is they brought Jackie back, right? You see Ella Purnell in this, which is super cool.
Yeah. What... For what's her name, right? Is in the classroom.
Lottie is so they end up all hallucinating together, right? They all picture each other, which I think was actually Shauna's vision, right? We should probably track because yeah. she was the last one to kind of disappear in this crazy sequence. So it was Lottie was the teacher, Jackie was there, and of course she's like Akia, who was there? Lottie was there, Shauna, Akia, and Van, right? And they had,
yes.
And Jackie essentially throws like slap bracelets on him around Shauna's neck, which causes her to bleed while Akia and Van try to take it off. And the only one that I think that nothing really happened to is Akia. So it's like almost they're setting up, I think, that Akia is like either next in line. Cause you can see like, when they were a team, Jackie was kind of the leader. But when they got to the forest, Lottie kind of took that lead. And then now we have Natalie, but I long suspected since the beginning of the season that Natalie probably will keep power.
I kind of need in this season for them to explain why they fucking keep Lottie around. Because this is like two seasons. I mean, it's going to be a season and a half of like, why is Lottie still around if she's that clearly mentally unstable and like just causes problems since they were kids?
And I think that I think she wielded a lot of power and influence when she was in the forest. Why they're still friends with her while they're adults doesn't make sense. And I think I figured out why I don't like adult Lottie very much. It's because like the characterization of Lottie is vastly different from what young Lottie's doing.
Yeah, young Lottie, I gotta admit, is like really good. I don't mind young Lottie. I like watching young Lottie.
She's like tortured. She's like on.
Damn, that's just like fucking fuel. Like somebody's gonna take that soundbite of what I just said.
Or like, what is it? Like she was on medication. She's off her meds, right? That's what could be another reason why she's like hallucinating. She's like had a very kind of depressed, isolated life for herself. And they, while adult Lottie's like at this point of the show, almost played up like a joke. Like she's kind of like a troublemaker, but like, oh, she's still one of the gang, right? Which,
oh, I'm going to steal a $1,500 dress. Don't worry. There's no security stuff.
Yeah. Cause that's what she used to do. Right. Cause she had that thing in the first season about being in the mall or something. So it could be something. Yeah. I don't know. There's always been a disconnect, with adult Lottie and teen Lottie. And we realized that there's like toxic gas is probably the thing that knocked him out. So yeah. I like that the show, I think, last year, I didn't like the show because it was leaning too hard into the supernatural thing and it wasn't very interesting. While this season, they're going back to kind of like trying to make it plausible as to why, because we can assume that like there's poisonous gas or something, which is the obvious reason why, or it could be the supernatural element. Because I think Mari kind of laid it out like there's like a light side and there's like a dark side, and you can fall into between both very fast, which I kind of felt like this episode was very like kind of David Lynch inspired in execution, which is much better, which is what I think the right tone for this show, which I think they got away from.
Yeah. It still doesn't explain why they're still friends with the
adults. Yeah, I know. Yeah, speaking of, you want to talk about the adults real quick?
Yeah, I'm going to just say real quick, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, and then we find out that Shauna became like murder happy when they were young, and that's why she's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then the rest all, you know, try to cover it up, so like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you think... So this is called Them's the Breaks because a big turning point in this is Misty convinces Shauna to hang out with her, and then kind of the assumption is manipulates her to hang out with her day.
Because Misty needs to be right. She doesn't want to let what's his name to be correct about her friends. Elijah Wood's character, right? Yeah.
Which is not Jeff, because Jeff is my favorite character. I'm not going to remember the character's name. It's like a...
That's fine. I don't think he came out in this episode. That's what I have pulled up.
Yeah. But cutting the brakes thing, I guess she had done that before, and that's why we're going to assume it's her. Because she did that to...
Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, yep. Mm-hmm. Adult Natalie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like it didn't track. I don't think it was her.
No. And it just further shows that how shitty everybody kind of treats Misty. Rightfully so, because you know what I just like think is that I don't think, or they've never explained that, I don't think Misty has ever confessed, for one, killing that girl with the shit bucket, right? I don't think she's ever confessed that. Oh. Nor I don't think she's ever confessed she's the one that destroyed the black box originally. There's no real confirmation. We don't know if the adults have figured that out yet, but they just kind of don't like Misty. So
they didn't catch her? No, right? No, I guess nobody.
So it's, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is like I don't know why. What's the motivation behind Shauna not liking Misty? Aside from her being like annoying and a little too clingy.
I don't think Shauna likes any of them. Is what I was trying to gather.
It's true.
I think she's real like, oh my god, now I got to fucking talk to these people again, like mm-hmm. every time. And she's the only one that's real blasé about everything, right? And I feel like that's intentional. That's why I'm like thinking
Shauna is the worst. That's what I suspect.
Maybe Shauna is like, because she's not the most logical, right?
mm-hmm.
She's very quick to do bad things, and I think she might be inherently evil. I don't know. Like,
she's definitely like, she like is sort of like very like feeds into like the impulsive side of her personality, right? Like, and right now it's kind of like she's going through all that like trauma from losing the kid, which is probably why she's finding Melissa's attention interesting, right?
Yeah. And being real pissy towards Melissa.
Yeah.
But even like adult Shauna is pretty like, okay, like, what do we got to do so I can fucking... I just want to get back to my family that loves me.
Right, yeah.
Because I think it's because Jeff and mm-hmm. Callie, right, are like, love her unconditionally, I guess. And Jeff for sure, because I think Jeff is fully aware of who she is since, you know, she came back. Because I didn't understand why Jeff... was so quick to be like, oh, we can work through this, because she was basically cheating on him and then killed the guy.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I can cover it up for you. Don't worry about it. I'm like, what is going on? But they never.
But it was always super weird that, remember in the beginning of the season series that Shauna was like masturbating to one of Callie's boyfriends? It's like, dude, Shauna is not a good person, yeah, dude. She's not
fucking
a good.
No, she's fucking wild.
Yeah. I've long suspected that. And I guess the other thing is like Misty, Lottie, Callie, they have like a sleepover and Misty gets too drunk and Lottie continues to kind of manipulate and influence Callie. And Callie seems like she's on board with it, or at least along for the ride. And then...
for now, until she realizes Lottie's probably going to try to sacrifice
right,
her.
To the forest, to the forest, yeah. Speaking of...
It seems pretty obvious that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then what is it? Thaisa, we get the... Basically, we get confirmation that if, like you said, that because the waiter died... That was the sacrifice Van needed for her cancer to go away. So, like, they're completely on board with sort of that theory, I guess. So, anyways, not your favorite episode?
So, Kev.
Oh, go ahead.
Nah, not really. But, I mean, it does give you a little context for, like, okay, so Shauna's baby died pretty much the same time the cabin burned down. Yet when we come back and see them, it's been a fruitful season for them, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing Lottie is like, the only way to fix everything is I got to kill Callie, because when Shauna's first baby died.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too. Yeah. Yeah.
And this Callie girl is like maturing way too fast in a year and a half or whatever time.
I think they almost have her out of high school now, right? They're like, she's like senior year or something.
It's just funny because if you follow the timeline, it's only been like maybe a year, year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like matured very drastically.
Yeah, we haven't had any major time jumps or anything yet. Okay, cool. I really like this episode. I thought it was very funny. I think they did a really good job with that. They progress the story. They finally are progressing things that they've been hinting at for like 3 years.
Oh, you know what? There was a big highlight of this episode. They play Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, there you go. Like, yeah.
They play Nookie. Nookie, yeah. Think, right? I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Jeff listening to it, which I was like, I'm going to let it slide this one. We need Jeff to be the new.
Yeah, I know Jeff this episode. That was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Alrighty. John, are you ready to move over to our main review of The Parenting?
Yes.
Do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for The Parenting, which has nothing to do with the blackening. Typical Massachusetts spooky demon.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that triangle, what's it called?
Bermuda? Doesn't matter. Bermuda Triangle?
No. And it's like Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and...
Vermont?
I'm blanking. Maybe there's a triangle of like spooky activity in like the foresty area.
Connecticut. Let's move on.
Delaware. Just gonna name all of them.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for The Parenting. Thankfully, not teacup.
I know, right? Yeah.
I was like, oh no. Yeah, like when it started setting up. And coming in at number 1 for The Parenting. Dad turns progressive 4 times.
Spoiler. But which dad? Yes. So this is a horror comedy that's only on Max. Yes. And has an all-star cast, honestly. So what'd you think, John? What are your first thoughts?
Yeah. I ultimately really liked it. I feel like the beginning... Not the cold open. Well, maybe the cold open too took itself a little too serious. Because then I had a hard time deciding what was supposed to be funny or not later.
Oh.
I'm not later, but like when Parker Posey pops up, I'm like, okay, she's just weird. But then she turns around and has that really long fucking braid. Like, and I was like, okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know what was setting the tone a little off. Because all these actors are excellent. But I got to say, not surprisingly, but I was just surprised that they were my favorite character. Edie Falco was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Just a little hint at what I'm going to spoil later is the fucking robot was... My partner was asleep because she needed to work early in the morning. And my dog was asleep on the bed, too. And there's a part that happens at the end with Edie Falco where I fucking wailed crying, laughing. And I was like, I need to shut up. I need to shut up. I was
anyway. Yeah. Yeah. I like this movie. This feels like almost a throwback, right? Like, it almost feels like a less dirty, scary movie, right? But...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, like a Robert Zemeckis scary... No, it's not slapsticky like that either.
It just feels like some of the set pieces are not as maybe gross or, like, obvious, but it's kind of, like, very funny.
Yeah.
And I thought I thought it was really funny, and I thought, you know, there's horror elements to this part of it, which were fine. I mean, because they're... It almost feel like a throwback to like an 80s movie or something, like 80s HBO.
Yeah.
Where it's just really just bizarre, where it's just like they're doing horror comedy. So.
Yeah, it felt like on par with, I always get these movies confused. Not Wolf of Snow Hollow. Wolves at Night, is that the one I'm thinking of? Which is the one with Sam Richardson and Mia?
Yeah, Werewolves Within.
Mila,
was it Werewolves Within? The Wolves Within.
Wolves Within. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it kind of had that vibe, and I was like, oh, that's funny. This is good.
I almost feel like it's almost bigger slapstick than that, right? Because of the set and the locations, yes. And like the humor. It's very like, I wouldn't say lowbrow, but it's not trying to be like. It's like an entertaining movie. It's not trying to be like. Like deconstructing these like haunted house type movies and stuff. Even though there's a lot of riffs on those things. So I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like, and we'll talk about it later, but there's like a reveal. Obviously, you know who kind of the, one of the bad guys are immediately. I felt like it was pretty obviously like immediately. Who right. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Cause I don't
it's a spoiler. It's a spoiler. Huh? Yeah, because then what do we talk about? What else do we talk about?
Well, just how they, the reason it happened. I'm like, what? I thought that was funny. I was like, oh, it's not important at all. Like,
yeah.
This is just really basically just happening because somebody's a little bit dumb.
More or less, yeah. Did you enjoy the cold open, right? We're basically like,
oh yeah, no, I thought that was fun. I also didn't, I wasn't sure what to expect. Like I had to check to make sure I was watching the right movie again. Cause I didn't expect the cold open to have, and like, it was no relation to the characters we meet later.
That's right. Yeah. But it's just the house, right? Cause there's like a murder in the house. Something is like in the basement killing them. And then.
Like some sort of demon thing. You see its hand grab people and it's tallish.
And it that's essentially the setup for the main premise of the movie, right? It's like the gay couple, they basically do an Airbnb in a country house rental. And then they have their parents, so they're meeting their parents. So it's that kind of setup where it's like the parents meet. It's like, what is it? Fucking Ben Stiller's Meet the Parents, right? Like,
it is exactly like.
So
yeah. It's like my partner, she kept fucking asking, like, so what's the relation? Like, that can't be like his actual parents, right?
Oh yeah, that's right.
like one of the main guys, he is. I don't want to get this wrong, but let's say like maybe Indian.
Wow, John. Wow. How dare you? How dare you? He is an American actor from Phoenix. But it, what you're really asking is, where are you really from, right?
But what kind of American are you? He's actually born in Dallas, Texas. And is 5'11". So anyway, so his name is Nick Dodani, right? Damn, that just, you know, I'm not helping my case because that straight up sounds like he's Italian. hey, it's Nick Dodani.
To put in context, he was a producer of Life of Pi. If that helps you.
The hit documentary about different pies
in America. Yeah. Oops.
He was in Twisters, to put even more context on how Texan he is. No, I was kidding. Anyway, he so, and his parents are played by Brian Cox and Edie Falco, who what I'm trying to say is have a drastically different complexion as far as skin tone.
Yeah.
And for, she just kept bringing up like, well, what, I mean, what's the relation, blah, blah, blah. Cause then it does become sort of subtly important later. Cause there may or may not be a possession that happens. And that person says some sort of like blatantly racist stuff. But I did think it was cool. Like, that's not important. The only time it's important that they're gay really is the beginning when one of the characters who's renting the Airbnb says like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, are you guys gay? They're like, yeah, is that a problem? And she's like, nah, that's
yeah. He's they don't explicitly say that he's like adopted, right? Because he's of Indian descent. No. Right. So that's the maybe, kind of looked up. Yeah.
He's probably Italian. The Don. No, I was kidding.
Right, because there's not like a big thing made of it, right? That he's, other than like he, the way Edie Falco and Brian Cox's raised him was to be very like perfect son, like you kind of also very submissive and like kind of just did whatever, very like controlling too, I would imagine, because he's very controlling of the his partner and like the relationship, because they're eating what he wants to eat. And while his partner's family is obviously the opposite, right? They're very like,
oh my god, this is also the first time. So what, partner's parents are played by Dean Norris and Lisa Kudrow. It's like the first time I watched a movie where I'm not relating to the main characters going like, oh yeah, parents, right? I'm like, fuck, I'm Dean Norris.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When did that happen? Like in the whole movie when they're doing stuff like, that's their personality is me. What's going on?
Yeah. Just this, I love Dean Norris's, when we first meet him and he's like talking about how was the trip? Oh, he was fine. And it just sort of rambles on boring details about their trip there.
He's like, yeah, I mean, that's why we probably got stuck for like 15 minutes. But then like, actually this happened because of the snow and it might've been more like 30 minutes. And then we had to like backtrack and do this. It actually may have been like 45 minutes and everybody's like, okay, yes.
Yeah, he's the most relatable thing I could imagine.
Yeah. And I also kind of appreciate like Brian Cox and Edie Falco are like, you kind of get right away that they are standoffish because they don't approve of their son's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of it. Because every time Lisa Kudrow and Dean Norris talk, they always say something that, I don't know, should be considered silly or dumb. And they're just like, oh, yeah. Like they're agreeing with the other parents all the time, but not, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they're kind of all set up here. I would say the only thing, there's another house guest that shows up. I thought that didn't make any sense. That was like, that didn't work. I liked, I did like her. Back. Like, I thought she was funny, right? But like her input into the story seemed a little, like it never went anywhere.
They always, yeah, and she, I feel like she always ends up playing a character like that. Like, do you remember her in Always Be My Maybe?
Oh, I've seen the movie, but it's been such a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. She's the one that goes on the date with, what's his name?
Asian Jim. I'm
sorry. Asian Jim. Randall Park. Yeah. Yeah. Asian Jim. Yeah. Randall Park. And she's the one that's like, Keanu Reeves. Oh yeah. And then he's like, what does she say? Like, you're a star. And Keanu Reeves grabs her face and says, the only stars are the ones that I see in my eyes. Anyway, yeah. She's funny. I will say whoever did her makeup didn't do her any favors in this movie. It was kind of distracting. They like caked it on. Like, I was expecting her to be like a dead.
Right. Yeah. I think, honestly, I didn't care much for the character. I don't think her character was like, didn't add much to the plot. It didn't really like serve a purpose other than we're just going to add this other character for one plot device.
Anything, it was just one more person. Yeah. To confirm that there's ghosts there or whatever. Cause remember she goes to the shed.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, and she's in there, and one of the people from the beginning that got caught by the demon is like a sort of morph looking ghoul, but you can tell it's still him. And she's like crawling back, and the door went open, and then she farts, and the demon stops, and then she's like, that was the door. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. There are parts of this movie that are like very fart humory, and I thought it was still very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. I felt like it definitely felt like scary movie, but maybe not as exaggerated or like over the top in its humor. Like,
yeah. Like you're not seeing, what's her name? Tori Spelling getting railed by an invisible person.
Yeah.
Like all around the room.
Yeah. Cause the Wayans did that, right? They did, Abrams and
Zemeckis.
No, that's right? Robert Zemeckis. That's the other guy. They did Roger Rabbit. So,
yeah, you're right.
Wow. They did Naked Gun, David Zucker. Yeah. Yeah, Zucker and Abrams. They directed all the like Naked Gun movies and stuff. And they did a couple of Top Secret. They did a couple of scary movies. The last like 4 and 5 or something like that.
I think it was like 3 through 6.
I think you're right. I don't remember. I would say I'm the biggest fan of these movies. I never really cared for them, to be honest, but.
3 through 5, yeah, actually. Because I think the next one coming in, the 6th one that they're making for whatever reason, is Back to the Wayans Brothers.
That's probably a good idea. Yeah. So then you made 2, right? And then they handed it over.
Yeah, just the first 2. Anyway, so if we're going to, just to kind of speed things along, feel that's the way I'm like, I don't know how much of a spoiler it is because it kind of leads it like it it's the whole plot point, right? The Wi-Fi password, the Wi-Fi is purposely turned off and they have to do the password and it's obviously Latin in it, which I thought was really funny. And the first person to do it all the way is Brian Cox, so he becomes the
vessel. Yeah, and he starts
which is like cuts.
Oh, yeah. His partner, Josh. Yeah.
Josh. Yeah. Brendan Flynn.
Yeah.
Like, he like cuts him. He's like, why did you do that? I was like, I don't know what you're doing. All I did was like pick up my knife and like, do this. And he cuts it again. Like, but there's one of the dogs becomes possessed and they like, Dean Norris grabs it because it's attacking Lisa Kudrow. And I thought this was a sweet moment. And he like wraps it up in a towel and starts like bashing it with a meat tenderizer. Which, funnily enough, the only people that... is this a spoiler? It might be. Never mind.
We can go to spoilers if you want.
No, that's... well, what else do we need to get to? I think it's very important that we mention... Rohan, which I'm glad I had the closed captions on. Because my partner needs them. because I would have thought everybody was calling him bro the whole time. Which would have made the movie a little weird. Whenever he would get scared as a kid, Edie Falco would come in and do like a character that he thought was scarier, so it always distract him from what was scary before it. It was like, and he was like, yeah, it was really scary. And I just want to mention that because I think it's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else? Because the movie kind of happens kind of quickly. I got to
know. Yeah, it's a very like light, very fast paced, no like fat in this movie whatsoever.
Kind of breeze through it. Yeah, yeah. Because I like stopped it for a second. I paused it and I was like, oh, well, let's see how much time I have. I was like, 20 minutes? What? Yeah, okay. We can get into spoilers.
Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Parker Posey, actually, quite obviously, is a bad guy at the beginning.
Yes,
of the movie.
Yeah.
Like you can tell that she's like asking like very specific questions, and they're taking it more like, is she like being racist or homophobic? But I'm like, no, these questions sound like she's trying to sacrifice you.
Yeah.
And they walk out and she's like drawing a big circle line around the thing. Like, what are you doing? She's got like a huge thing. She's like, oh, it's just for the sprinkler guys. I just got to measure out where the sprinklers are going. And this is 600 units. Yep. You can tell that they're maybe like ad-libbing here and there. Cause yeah, it's like classic Christopher Guest Parker.
Right. Project. Yeah. I'm so glad that people like Parker Posey's having like this, what is it? Like resurgence because of White Lotus. Yeah. I've seen so many clips of like, oh, from Best in Show, from like Party Girl, like, and I was like, yeah, she's always been fucking badass since forever. So,
yeah. Fry like Piggy. What is it? No, Fry like Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Piggies.
Yeah. Was Days Confused. Yeah. Air Raid. Air raid sequence.
Yeah. I like that conversation they have in the car where I fucking hate that I always forget her name. Not Renee Zellweger.
Oh, Joy Lauren Adams.
Yes. Where they're in the car driving and Parker Posey is like, nah, she just said like whatever, it doesn't even matter. And she's like, no, it's okay. You can tell me. I don't even care. It's like, whatever. And it's like, oh, she said that. And she's like, that bitch. I can't believe she said that.
Yeah. It's just a dumb place. She's not mad, right? I'm not mad, though.
I'm not mad. Whatever.
Yeah. Parker Posey's a gem. Yeah. Anyway. So the fact that she's in this and the bad person, and I loved her explanation. Because I thought for sure Parker Posey was the young girl. Because we don't really see how she dies. We just... because the creature like kills off the mom, kills off the son, and then kills off the daughter. But I thought maybe Parker Posey was the daughter. That was her old, because it's the house that those people died in. But I don't know, but it ends up being other thing where she's the neighbor, sort of the bad influenced neighbor. And I love that she's...
It's so fast and loose, right?
Yeah, I love that she's playing her younger self. Parker Posey's playing teenager for no reason whatsoever. She's playing a teenager version of herself, which I thought was great.
But I like how fast and loose that is. Like, not just like her playing her younger self, which Parker Posey is like iconic, fucking beautiful. Yeah. Has aged because she's a lot older than, you know, like... but you can like, you know, obviously it's her, and then her explaining the whole like, oh, it's because, you know, they didn't like it because my parents were in the cult or whatever, and I just like, hey, you know, you hate your parents, why don't you try this demon right here? That'd be
cool. Yeah. So she gets the neighbor kid who the parents tell her she's a bad influence, don't hang out with her, and so they end up together summoning a demon which kills their family and her Sir Fred.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and what is it? Only because she left
the circle. She left the circle, yeah. To go check on the family because there were screams and stuff. And like, what's even the plan there? Like, she's like, oops. You summoned a real demon. She's like, oops. Like,
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how she presents the character too, right? Like, I just, you know, I got to do this, I guess. And like, why? I don't know. It's like a lot of that. So one of the other spoilers I didn't want to give up was, surprisingly, somehow nobody dies in this movie except for the people at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then even after all that, because there's like a big showdown, which was like this funny, like, the power of love. But like in a really corny way. It's really funny. But Parker Posey ends up at the end with them. Like, she's just hanging out with the family and they're all like, yeah, I can't believe this happened, blah, blah, blah. And Dean Norris says something. And then Parker Posey says something and he just kind of looks at her like,
yeah, why are you here?
You're still here. Not sure. You're going to go to jail. And she's like, oh, whatever, you know, leave a review. And she walks away.
Yeah.
So going back to, they all decide, I think Roe was going to sacrifice himself was the idea, mm-hmm. right? But then, what's his name?
Brandon? Josh.
Brandon? Josh. His real name is Brandon. Josh was like, oh, I'll, he does the same sort of chant, which they all know because it's the Wi-Fi password. The demon starts to go into him because they're trying to trick the demon, right? They're like, why do you want to be in Brian Cox's body? It's old, mm-hmm. I'm young, and I can, you know. So the demon tries to get into Josh also. And then Dean Norris and Lisa Kudrow start to say the same thing, the same chant. So the demon tried to get into them. Parker Posey's like, you're confusing him. Don't. You're killing him. And then Edie Falco comes out and starts doing the robot dance because that was scarier than anything else. They tried to scare the demon. It was like, oh my God, I couldn't stop fucking laughing. I was like, oh, I need to shut up. It's like 11:30 at night. What am I doing? I was like, Edie Falco fucking did this movie and she's amazing. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of how they saved the day, right? They
Arla, love. Sure. Yeah.
It's good. I mean, there's so many other funny things about this movie, like Josh keeps eating the weed gum.
Oh yeah.
He's just very blasé about everything, which is really funny.
Right, yeah.
Lisa Kudrow comes in, which I think is a nod to Friends, right? But in her pajamas with all the taxis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like, oh my God, I thought it was funny because it reminded me of somebody I know. They say something like, oh, look at all the taxis on your pajamas. She's like, yeah. They're like, there must be like a million of them. And she's like, I don't know. I've never counted them. That's a lot of taxis.
Super funny. Yeah. I really like Brian Cox too. He's like the first to be possessed. We see that he's butt naked. His butt, his very aged butt.
Did you see? Oh, so like he actually had a body double come in and do that. I read that up. He was like too embarrassed to do it. But did you see there was like an after credit scene?
No.
So, you know, he comes out, he's naked and everybody, the whole family's there. And the post credits thing, it's the couple, they're driving away and they basically say like, yeah, fuck, that happened. But it wasn't all bad, you know. We got engaged and, you know, and the other guy, Rose, like, yeah, you're right. But I just cannot believe that I saw my dad's hard cut when it cuts the credits again.
Yeah. Super fun. Really fun.
I rather enjoy this movie a lot. Like, I kind of run a... I'll probably rewatch it.
It's light enough to where it's like, yes, you can just put it on. And it's a fun movie. Very non... You don't have to really, like, think about it or get in a serious mood about it. It's just funny. Entertaining.
Yeah. It's just, what was it? Brian Cox is trying to send a message to the family, right? There's like markings on his back. That, what does it say? Like, he's trying to like write on his back. Like, how do I explain this? Like stigmata style scarring. I'm not. Oh, and then he runs out of space on his shoulder. So like there's an arrow that goes down and he puts it on the
bottom. Yeah. Really fun.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay. Do you want to rate the movie now? John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh,
ha. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to get the parenting. 6.66 sexy spooky.
Very bones. Nice. Very, very sexy. Very evil. Yes. I'm going to do just a slight better. Just a 7. I thought it was a solid movie. Entertaining movie. Actually surprised. Surprised. Yeah, how good it is. But considering the cast and the premise, I think it is they executed a pretty fun movie.
I was going to give it a 7. You can round up the 6.66, but you have to give it an 8.
Yeah. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Yeah.
That's actually a nod to what I think Lisa Kudrow said. What was it? He called me a cunt when I walked by, but I had to stand there and wait for him to finish because you said, you're a cunt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.